It's episode 196 of the HodgePodge Podcast. I'm your host,
as the name suggests, we're talking about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Toy Story 4, its companion piece, Child's Play, and Yesterday. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look for us on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook, search for the HodgePodge Podcast, and like our page. I just had a guy at work today say, "Oh, wow, did you stop doing the podcast?" It's like, you know.
Tearful when we're off for a few weeks.
No. He said, "Did you stop doing the podcast? You haven't updated in like 2 years." I'm like, "Oh, you went to YouTube?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, no, you got to go to the site. Eventually, YouTube will be completely updated. It takes a long time to make those fucking videos and upload them. Box office. Avengers fucking stunk up the joint.
Yes.
Trying to catch Avatar in its re-release.
24 point some million away.
We saw the re-release. It's not worth it.
No, see it. Everyone should see it. It's wonderful, and you will not be disappointed if you go spend more money on Endgame. Precisely 24.6 more million.
You will be disappointed.
It was really bad.
The deleted scene is unfinished effects-wise, and it's like completely useless.
At that point, it's like just promote the movie again.
Yeah.
Call this like a re-release with extra footage.
The Stanley tribute was fine. It was nice, but whatever. And then the preview of Spider-Man Far From Home, which comes out tomorrow, actually technically tonight at midnight.
Right.
I can't believe they're resurrecting midnight showings for that tonight. I mean, we all know what happened in Colorado, you know, 7 years ago, right? But anyway,
a wonderful movie. An okay movie.
Has its problems, but then people were killed. So,
in the movie?
No, at the theater. Jesus. So whatever. Toy Story 4 won the box office again this weekend. That's 2 weeks in a row for Toy Story. Did you see Annabelle?
No.
Oh, you didn't go see it? Okay. That was in second, I believe. Of course, this week, like I said, the big release is Spider-Man Far From Home. Comes out tonight, technically, but really tomorrow. And the counter programming for that is Midsommar, which comes out on the 3rd.
Yes, the 3rd.
Yes, the 3rd.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, I'm not going to probably see that.
I don't think you will.
But see, again, I don't know how much.
Well, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know. Because, like, I think that's going to be more like
Hereditary.
Well, yeah, Hereditary. But stuff I've seen, Get Out or something, probably more creepy.
Yes, definitely.
Than scary.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just creepier than scary?
You know.
Let me know.
I'll tell you, it was a delightful romp. Go check it out.
You asshole! Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't go see Annabelle.
I just didn't make it out.
You done with that doll?
No, I just didn't make it out.
I'm actually surprised they're in it. Were they in the original Annabelle? The two of them? Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga?
Vera Farmiga. Yes.
They were. Okay, interesting. Okay, so that's interesting.
Wait. No.
Yeah, they weren't.
Annabelle was in one of the Conjuring
movies. Right, and then they told her story. Okay, got it. But I was, I was surprised.
I think they were in it in like as a flashback form for like a minute or two, like from the other film.
Right. I was surprised that they were in this film, though, because I was like, oh, this isn't like technically, it's not technically a Conjuring. It's in the universe, but it's not their realm. Yeah, it's not like Conjuring 4 or whatever the hell it is. That's the next one, right? Didn't they do 3 so far? Okay. Anyway, me going on and on about a series of movies I'll never watch. So,
creepy than scary, though.
No, no, that one is no. That's scary. All right, let's talk about
anything else in movie news.
Oh well, I mean, you know,
I can't think of anything.
Netflix released pictures of The Witcher starring Henry Cavill as Geralt Witcher. Of Rivia.
It's The Witcher.
Geralt of Rivia. It looks good. I mean, they showed it was him and what's her face? God, why did the character just Yennefer and Ciri. They showed the three of them. And they all look good. I mean, they look fine. Ciri does. If you've only played Witcher 3 like I have, Ciri doesn't look like she does in.
It's a video game.
It's a series of novels that has been adapted into video games. Oh. So most people know the video games, but they're basing this on the novels. Oh. But I will say Yennefer, the character looks, and of course, obviously Henry Cavill looks very much like they do in the video game. Ciri, I think this is probably taking place earlier than The Witcher 3, so she's doesn't.
I hope he can bring that same charisma that Michael Fassbender brought to Assassin's Creed. Oh,
shut up, Henry Cavill would be better.
They've announced Neil Gaiman's Sandman will become a Netflix series.
Yeah, apparently Neil Gaiman is hot today in Hollywood. Now they're finally going to make Sandman for Netflix.
Probably the right place for it.
Either that or HBO. But since my buddy told me that he read that AT&T's president has said that they don't care about prestige shows anymore. At HBO, because now it's just about content. Expect to see Big Bang Theory 5 on what's it called? HBO soon. Are you enjoying Big Little Lies?
No. It's all right. That's all right. The whole side plot with the mom being like psychic is dumb as fuck.
Oh, yeah, that's dumb. That part's dumb. That's
stupid as shit.
That part's dumb. But I like all the stuff with Meryl Streep.
But it's like I said to you, Meryl Streep is good in it because she doesn't have to act. She's playing a pretentious, manipulative bitch. So just Meryl Streep.
I don't know why you hate her so much.
Just Streep being Streep. She's just Streeping around.
I don't know why you hate her so much. She never did nothing to you. Wait, were you
the
kid?
She manipulated the world.
Were you the kid in Kramer versus Kramer? what else is going on? Nothing, pretty much. It's kind of lazy for. Stranger Things.
That's this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend. Oh, it's this Thursday, buddy. Stranger Things comes on Stranger Things 3 on Netflix on Thursday the 4th. I will be watching it.
I hear Hellboy has a cameo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, let's talk about. Shall we finish on a high note?
Sure.
Okay, so let's talk about.
So we'll finish with Child's Play.
No. Let's start with yesterday then. Yesterday we caught on a free screener, but it's now in theaters. This is a movie by Danny Boyle and.
Danny Boyle, who will never do another franchise movie, and then a day later announces that he's going to. He said after James Bond, he'd never do another franchise movie, and then he announced two different other franchise movies.
Two? I thought it just one.
Yeah, he announced another one. I forgot to send it to you. I can't remember what it was. It's just like, geez.
Danny Boyle's the director on this. Richard Curtis wrote the screenplay based on a story by Jack Barth. Yesterday is about a musician named Jack Malik, who is played by Himesh Patel. I think this is like his first big role, I think.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And he is a singer-songwriter who apparently is no good. Nobody cares about him except for his manager slash childhood friend, Ellie, who's played by hot Lily James. And what happens is there is a
power
a weird global power outage, and like everything goes out. Like even like it's almost like an EMP pulse throughout the whole thing, the whole world. And then he gets hit by a bus,
and then he becomes part of the Speed Force.
No, that's not what happens. No, that's Flash. Oh. And then he wakes up in the hospital, and as he recuperates, he discovers that he is the only person who remembers the Beatles. And being a singer-songwriter, does he say, well, let me use the Beatles stuff to help me to help me make my stuff better? No, he just straight rips off the Beatles and does their music. Providing
that's not my problem with the movie.
No, I know, but he becomes super famous because the Beatles wrote amazing fucking music, and he becomes super famous, always worried that someone is going to out him as a fraud. Meanwhile, Ellie has been pining after him forever, and he's
all within like a couple months, by the way.
And he's too stupid to see it.
But he just didn't care.
Yeah.
He wasn't interested at the time.
And the love story is very watered down.
But that's also the problem, because that is the point of the movie.
Right, exactly. And Kate McKinnon is hilarious when she shows up as the music executive. Joel Fry plays his friend and roadie, Rocky. He's really funny in this.
A.K.A. Bud. Spike. He is exact same character as Spike from Notting Hill.
Oh, okay. Right.
I mean, to a T.
Ed Sheeran shows up in this, and it's like a cameo, but he actually kind of plays a big, an important part. The thing that confused me about this movie was that everybody thinks it's like amazing that he, quote, wrote all the music by himself. And, you know, like it's almost like in this new world, like, singer-songwriters don't exist anymore. And it's like, that's their big selling point. He wrote it all. He wrote it all by himself. And it's like, that's a weird selling point when you have people like Taylor Swift and
Lady Gaga,
Ed Sheeran, you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, he's in the fucking movie, and it's like, he's a singer-songwriter. It's just like, you know. And bands, like, you know, out there, like U2, they write all their own stuff, Depeche Mode. I mean, you know, all these, you know, it's only, like, pop stars that really don't write their own stuff. Somebody else writes for them. Like, Kylie Minogue has, like, a lot of people write for her. Madonna used to.
She should be so lucky. Lucky.
She should. Madonna used to. I don't know what her division is now of how much she writes. Maybe that's...
But she justified it.
Oh, my God. Maybe that's why her... You probably only need to buy the Immaculate Collection, and that's about it. For Madonna. So, that was weird. It's fine.
It's okay.
It's a fine movie. It's not great.
The more I think about it, the less I like it.
Yeah, it's not great by any stretch of the imagination.
One, movies seem to be doing this more and more lately, but for some unknown reason to speed up the timeline, like, they're just like, he writes all these songs, and they're like, we're going to release them all on this giant 2-album, you know,
yeah,
set.
That would
and
never
it's like,
happen.
That's not what happens. You take the cash cow and you milk it.
Right.
You put out an album, 10 songs. You put out an album, 10 songs.
Right.
You don't say, we're going to release all your songs. Right. No one knows who you are, but now we're going to release them.
Right.
Like, that doesn't,
right, that doesn't happen. That doesn't
and that's
happen.
What they were, that's what this whole movie was trying to do.
Yeah.
And then they, and then it's just, some odd things happen in this movie. He eventually meets a couple other people who know what happened.
Right.
Who remember just like he did. And there are other things that other than the Beatles that are missing.
Right, yeah. World, it's not just the Beatles, yeah.
So, to me, this movie, because it gives too much of that information, its focus becomes distracting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, why the fuck is he going to talk to the other people about everything else that's missing?
Yeah.
And why is it only the Beatles that he cares about if there are other musicians that are also missing?
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't... Why is that the focus?
When clearly he doesn't even care about the Beatles, really, because, as Matt Goldberg pointed out in his Collider review, he's like, yeah, this guy just wants to be famous. That's really all he wants. It's like, if he really cared about music and his own art and whatever, he would... try and get his, and he does get put one song in there when, and it's a joke,
and then they, and it's a joke, and then they all hate it,
but
which lends less credence to the movie, mm-hmm. because it's like, okay, he was never gonna make it on his own,
right?
It would be one thing as if this unlocked the door for him,
right?
And then he started writing his own music, right. And everyone loved it, and that's all he needed,
right?
But no, that's not what happened.
All he needed was love,
right? So they used it for a punchline, the fact that he writes his own music and that it sucks. And so it becomes like, oh, okay, so he didn't deserve to be here. So, yeah, it's just... The whole movie kind of falls apart at the end. By the end,
I should say.
At the end.
As many movies do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you don't need to rush out and see this. And it's not even like... you know, it's not even like... Rocket Man or Bohemian Rhapsody, which are, even though Taron Egerton sings on Rocket Man and Bohemian Rhapsody is all lip syncing, so like, you know, but those are like jukebox musicals. Like, this isn't even like that, because
it's not a musical. This shies away from becoming a musical,
right? But he does his versions that he does on a lot of these songs are so weird.
Well
that it's like
they're
modernized crappy.
They're emotionally tone deaf.
Yeah,
they're poppy versions that don't have the soul of the original.
Right, and in fact, I mean, that's revealed basically at the end when over the credits they play the actual Hey Jude.
Hey dude.
Are you sure? Hey dude.
Hey dude.
Are you sure? But yeah, I mean, the love story is just garbage. It's just like. This girl just pines and pines and pines and pines for him. And then when she finally does find somebody, then he's like, oh, wait, I just realized I love you. And then she's like, thanks,
and then
asshole.
She's like, nope. And then he's like, yep. And then they're like, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. It was dumb. So go see Yesterday.
Yeah. Just wait for it on.
You can wait for that on Netflix.
Netflix or something.
Let's talk about the movie. About toys. Child's Play. This is a reboot, I guess, of of the original Child's Play, which came out in 1988.
That sounds right.
And this time it is more of a technology panic movie where Chucky is a robot, not a doll possessed by an evil voodoo spirit and of a serial killer.
Right. Basically, it becomes a sentient AI.
Yes, but the thing is that, because I was watching Red Letter Media about this last night, and they made some great points, too. They were like, if he learned all this stuff on his own and then became evil, that would have made more sense. But what happens in the beginning is that a disgruntled technician or whatever at the factory that makes him basically shuts off all his parameters. Like,
turns off the violence
features.
Parameter. Yeah. Hey, why does a doll have a violence parameter?
But he basically shuts off all the safety features on the doll. And so then he becomes... Does he become evil, though? Because he's only trying to be Andy's friend. He thinks doing it. So like it's in a way
it's a sociopath.
But in a way they're like the way they present it, also the way that Mark Hamill does it, because Mark Hamill does the voice, the way he does the voice, at times you almost feel bad for Chucky because you're just like, he's just a robot. He's like, he doesn't know. Whereas in the original Chucky, where
it's
he's
not
like
Wall-E, goddammit.
Whereas in the original Chucky, where he's, you know, he's a friggin' serial killer in the body of a doll.
Right. I mean that. as you know, you can't say one or the other has more or less credence or
right,
reality
right.
based.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the original is scarier because you know it's a evil person
right.
in that doll
right.
that has taken over the doll.
Right.
And this, it's just like, I guess if you taught him to be good, he'd be good. Like,
see, but I don't know. The thing. It's like he doesn't. Yeah, it's, you know, it's weird.
If you were just more careful around him, he
yeah
he
yeah
wouldn't
yeah
do what he did. You know,
yeah
it's
yeah
not
yeah
one of those
yeah.
It's just, but it doesn't. The movie gets too hammy for what it should be.
Right. I mean, so do the other ones, though. But I mean, you know.
Not the original Child's
Play. Not the original.
That's
but,
what I'm saying.
Yeah. A stupid bitch!
Yeah. But yeah, most of this movie doesn't work. You laugh more than anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was hilarious. I was cackling the whole time. Except for the one kill with the old lady. I was like, wow, well, what'd you do that for? She was a nice old lady.
Why and I had
that?
To explain it to you why he did it. No, Doug. He said that's her new best friend.
That's right. I forgot about
so
that. I forgot about
ergo,
that.
Ergo, she died.
Aubrey Plaza plays the kid's mother.
She's out of place.
She, yeah. No, well, it's not that. It's that I just didn't see her as, and she's like, and she's not super young anymore. Obviously, she looks it though. So I mean, they probably should cast her as like an older sister who had like custody of him
yeah,
or something
she's
like that.
Just out of place.
Yeah, it just didn't work. That relationship didn't work for me. The kid's fine. His friends are douchebags. They're idiots.
Yeah, so we got murders, and then you got these kids.
Yeah,
pulling a Stranger Things and like, we're not going to tell any adult.
Yeah,
we're going to handle this ourselves.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Brian Tyree Henry is in this. He plays a cop, and I like him a lot as an actor, so I enjoyed seeing him in this. Yeah, even though this movie was not good, but it was. But I mean. You will laugh. I mean, if you don't mind gore, you know, you'll laugh.
It's not even that gory.
Well, the one kill I thought was the basement guy. That was pretty gory. That was gross.
Be safe.
Here's my question: when he did the thing with the face with the first guy, why were the eyes still in there?
I mean, the murder melon.
Yeah, the murder melon. Why were the eyes still in there?
I don't know. Shh.
And as I said,
and like you said, how did he carry that watermelon all the way back?
How did he get back?
And no one saw it?
Yeah. How did he get back to the house? He was like across town.
Anyway,
as I said, Mark Hamill plays Chucky. So.
Yeah, and even Mark Hamill, whether it's his fault or not, he just doesn't have a lot to work with here. So
no, it's just
Chucky.
Well, because
by the way, the doll is awful.
The doll looks terrible. Yeah,
now there is
a thing later in the movie where there's a rollout for like a Buddy 2, basically.
And then it gets even worse.
No, because yeah, because
I know the bear.
The bear was so fucking creepy.
Things of
looking.
Nightmares.
I'm like, why did they make that the doll?
Yeah.
And to make it like a Teddy Ruxpin thing? Because
yeah.
That doll
but,
was creepy. It looked like a wolf man.
It did look like a wolf man. But yeah, the doll, which of course is the movie, it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's not scary.
It's not scary at all.
It's, it doesn't emote like in
right.
the original movie.
Right.
And, you know, they try to play around with that a little bit, but it
right.
doesn't really work.
Right. And that and that's the thing, yeah. I mean, it's because the doll has no character.
They did have the one, you know, Joker callback. I was wondering if they would.
Which one? When was that?
Where he's like, now grin real big.
Oh, yeah.
He's telling the...
Yeah,
the
yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Child's Play, the new Child's Play is not good. So you can skip that. Catch on cable if you want to laugh.
Just watch the original.
Just watch the original. You stupid bitch! I'll kill you. Now we move to Pixar's entry for the year. Did you cry?
No.
Okay. Toy Story 4. A movie that a lot of people felt... wasn't necessary, and it probably wasn't necessary, but it's still a damn
scary
fine
as
movie.
Shit.
It's still,
oh wait,
it's still a damn fine movie.
I mean, most sequels are not necessary.
True, but I mean, but Toy Story 3 put a nice cap on the story,
yeah.
And then, you know, and they did some stuff like on ABC with like some holiday specials. Correct. Stuff of that, which were great. Yeah. And
this doesn't ruin
not at all. The story is basically Woody trying to come to terms with being the useless toy now, because Bonnie, their new owner,
to be fair, he's been there before.
That's true.
Literally the original.
No, that's true. But in this case, it's more of an existential crisis for him.
You're right.
Bonnie, their new owner, is now, she likes Jessie because she's a girl. She likes Jessie. Jessie's a girl, and she likes
Jessie's girl.
Jessie's girl. Wait, I thought Jessie was with Buzz. Never mind. And she likes the other toys.
Yeah, Jessie's just a friend.
Got it.
A good friend of mine.
Got it. And stop! Shut up! Changed. Shut the fuck up! Shut up! He's not going to come here. You're not going to summon him so he can come here and then stick his crotch in your face like he did in the concert.
Let's find out.
Go in the bathroom and say his name three times.
He only does that with women. And it's five times.
I'm sorry, five times. He's Candyman? Yeah. Sorry. That's so weird, Candyman. Why is it five times? It's like, you have to go in the bathroom and say his name 37 times. Not one more, not one less, or else he's not going to show up.
Have you ever tried it? I bet not.
Anyway, back to Toy Story 4. That was a slight detour. That's a slight detour.
Tangential storyline.
Everybody's back for this one, except for, obviously, sadly, Don Rickles, who passed away.
But Mr. Potato Head is back.
But Mr. Potato Head is in it. And Tom Hanks, Tim Allen, and the whole gang's back. And
Tim's cocaine.
And Bonnie, in class, she goes to kindergarten, and she's scared. And so Woody goes with her. And what happens in class is she makes a new toy from the trash named Forky, who's a spork.
Trash?
Who's a spork with googly eyes and hands, and he had pipe cleaner hands, and he has a little popsicle sticks for feet.
Fun fact, I was watching Graham Norton with mm-hmm. Tom Hanks, and he said that the reason they didn't call it Sporky was because that scared children.
Really?
They Weird. Said they all the higher-ups did focus groups, and that's why I didn't use Sporky and used Forky.
Another fun fact. Yeah. Tom Hanks came up with the name Combat Carl.
Yes, see, that's
back
right.
in the day, yeah. And now they finally put Combat Carl in the movie.
Yeah, that's
played
funny.
By
that's,
Carl Weathers.
That's a pretty funny thing.
Yeah, he's a... So, Forky is played by Tony Hale of Veep and Arrested Development fame. He is
wonderful new character.
Yeah, he is great. He's Buster Bluth on Arrested Development, and he is very, very. He's even worse than Buzz was when he came in the first movie.
Oh yeah, he knows.
He knows nothing. He's very naive.
Until
he doesn't know anything
end.
Until the end.
He'll
basically.
Explain everything.
Yes. And so Forky's a great character. He's really good. I wasn't sure about that when I first saw the trailer. I was like, but he is fantastic. Yeah. He's a great character. Trash. My buddy
and I. No, you're a toy.
My buddy and I work now. We just call each other and go, trash. Also what happens is they go on a road trip. Woody is trying to basically stop Forky from trying. Forky thinks he's trash, so he's trying, because he was made from trash, so he's constantly trying to get out of this situation he's in now. And Woody's trying to say, no, you're
because Woody knows he's very important.
He's
to
very
Bonnie.
Right. And he goes, you're Bonnie's new toy. You're very important. Blah 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 blah. So he tries to protect Forky and keep him in the gang. And what happens is they go on a road trip. And Forky gets lost. Woody goes after him. And then they run into
Bo Peep,
who was lost, which is told in a little prologue in the beginning of the movie. And Bo Peep is back. Annie Potts is back to voice Bo Peep. And she is now a very independent woman. and she's not the porcelain doll that was up on the shelf anymore. And she's great. Key and Peele are in this as
They're
Ducky and Bunny. They're hilarious. Christina Hendricks plays the villain, Gabby. And she's a good villain, too. She's actually a very sympathetic villain, which is something that Toy Story has never really had. I mean, because the kid...
They hoodwinked you with Lotso.
Yes, and three... Yes, you're right. This is kind of the opposite.
Yeah.
She's very...
But still creepy as...
Yeah. Well. Oh, well, yeah. Her dummies that walk around her are very creepy. But she's good. She's very good in this. Keanu Reeves is Duke Kaboom.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great in this.
And he loved playing Duke
yes.
Kaboom.
Yes, and I really like...
Reportedly.
I really liked Ally Mackie as Giggle McDimples, who's from Paw Patrol.
Right.
And she's,
oh, is that where that's from?
I think she said Paw Patrol at one point when she introduces herself to Woody.
I like that Bo Peep made friends with a Polly Pocket.
Yeah. So it's really funny. Toy Story 4 is really, really funny. It's a sweet movie, just like all the other Toy Stories. But I was surprised at just how funny it was. You might get a little misty towards the end. It's a very bittersweet ending, I would say. But it's a good ending, but it's a very bittersweet ending.
Yeah.
We won't spoil anything for you, but it's a winner all the way around. The only thing I would say, maybe not enough buzz in this. It's really Woody's movie. And which is appropriate considering what happens at the end. Oh, ominous. but definitely go see Toy Story.
Buzz does have his...
He has his little adventure. Right, he has his little adventure with his inner voice.
Yeah. Which, to me, it was funny,
right.
But it didn't make sense because he would know better by now.
Yeah, I think so.
He learned from the first one by pressing his button.
Right. I think they made him a lot like a little bit like Homer Simpson.
Yeah.
The longer Homer's around, the dumber he gets.
Yeah, they dumbed him down for this for some just basically for that one
for comic relief.
For comic
basically.
Relief. It works fine, especially for kids that aren't going to give a crap. But
how did you get the key?
Yeah, that was fun.
It was very difficult.
But Doug, now let me just ask you one more question.
Yes.
How did they become real?
What do you mean? How they?
I don't know.
And stick around through the credits. It's not too deep into the credits,
no,
but
no. No opening.
Yeah, there was no opening short, which was kind of annoying. Because Pixar they're great shorts. And that, what was the last one they did was the dumpling.
The dumpling
kid, right?
One, which was fine.
Yeah, I thought that was cute.
My favorite one is still the paper airplane.
That's Disney. Yeah, I don't even think that was Pixar.
Oh, was that not Pixar?
That might have been in front of a Pixar movie, but it's a Disney. It's a Disney animation.
That was my favorite one. I like that one.
That was a really good one. But definitely go see Toy Story 4. It's one of the best movies of the year, I would say. I was stepping on
right below Child's Play.
Child's Play and Yesterday, you can skip. Our next episode will... Spider-Man, which I'm sure we'll have Matt here for that. He can't stay away from a Marvel movie discussion. And looking forward to it. It's getting great reviews, and it looks really good. And they say there's a lot we can't tell you that happens in this movie in our review. So just go see it. And
don't worry, I'll tell you.
well, by then the embargo will be lifted, so it doesn't matter anyway. We won't be banned from future Disney screenings that we're not.
Maybe I'll
to
go anymore. Tonight at midnight and tell y'all tomorrow.
You fucking
see it.
Asshole!
I might. I'll consider it.
Don't do it.
We'll see.
12:01. I was like, why aren't you showing it early? Anyway, so that'll do it for this episode. We'll see you next time, folks.